everybody. Welcome to the Transportation and Logistics Podcast, powered by Atlanta Dispatch and Humblebee Enterprises. I'm very excited to be here with a special guest. We have Brother Felipe Uribe, who is the Vice President of Expedited Trans. And before we begin, I just wanted to say that the Dispatcher's Guide to the Galaxy is available now as an ebook and a physical book. And you can acquire your copy online from barnesandnoble.com, Amazon, and if you're into the ebook space, you can get that bad boy from Apple Books. But without further ado, Felipe, my brother, thank you again for joining me today. How's everything your way?
Hey, man, everything is great. By the way, I'm taking notes here. I am going to get Dispatcher's Guide to the Galaxy, and I'm going to spread that across the galaxy, but more particularly to all my dispatchers.
Yes, sir.
So I appreciate you sharing that. But yeah, everything's going well, man. I'm excited to be here. Excited to talk transportation, logistics, and just have a good conversation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. For those folks who have not had an opportunity to encounter you in the past, can you give us a brief introduction?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Felipe Uribe. Thank you. Great job on the pronunciation, by the way. You made my ancestors proud. I'm a vice president for Expedited Trans. We are an expedited trucking company based in Florida. And we do, you know, long haul OTR, you know, coast to coast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, I think that's that I want to put a pin in it already. It's funny. I'm already putting a pin in it. Use the long haul coast to coast as an expedited.
So, but I was, I did mortgages then for a couple of years. I was at the closing tables, you know, mortgages was, it was a tough job for me. But I was at these closing tables and I'm looking at these settlement statements. They used to be called the HUDs. I don't think they're called that anymore. And I was seeing, I'm like, man, I'm doing all this work. And the other guy on the other side of the table, the realtor, he's going out, he's, you know, he's doing sales, he's seeing these different properties, he's having conversations, he's negotiating, you know, and then now he shows up with a bottle of champagne and he's the hero and he's collecting a bigger check. I'm like, I'm on the wrong side of the table. So I ended up, doing real estate for, you know, for about 5 years. And I really enjoyed it. It's a really cool industry to be a part of. I really enjoyed all the aspects of the things that I just mentioned, of the negotiating, of working with first time home buyers, of working with some commercial space as well, of just kind of being there, seeing people, you know, have these transformative moments. And the money wasn't bad either, but ultimately I knew that this wasn't something that, although I love real estate, it's a 24/7 kind of job, you know, it just wasn't something that I could see myself in it for the very long term. So I jumped into what I would say is my third industry, which is now transportation. I've been in it now for about 5 years.
Yes, sir. And I found that people who had worked closely with numbers in previous industries, they tended to do well in trucking, specifically in building business for trucking companies. You know, how do you feel like your background with numbers helped you in your role with no prior transportation industry experience?
Yeah, you know, it does. It does translate, you know, a lot. You know, some of these things that I learned in banking, you know, now apply to my position here at the company. But I think ultimately, you know, my degree when I went to college was in business management. And one of the reasons that I was really interested in business management is, you know, it's business management is very much like a sociology degree, but like for business, you know, it's like the study of humanity, but how we operate that throughout a business, you know, and that's something that to me has always been interesting. I've always seen business as, you know, regardless of what industry it is, whether it's real estate or banking or transportation, that industry, that product or service is really just the way that we transact as people. You know, it's really just what fuels us to kind of have that trend, but it's really just the relationships. And transportation, as I've learned, you know, I've been very fortunate to have really strong mentors in this industry. And some of the most successful people in this industry just have great relationships. And that's really what you know, I think it comes down to is having great relationships, and having like a side of humanity, you know, in terms of how you build your team, and how you grow your client base.
And I love that because the supply chain, from my experience, is nothing but relational currency on display. So folks listening in, value those relationships, value, pour into the people who are pouring into you. And yeah. It's a small industry, so just be good out here. And you said another thing that I really wanted to come back to, because I think it's interesting, right, that you were able to take a step back and say, what is business management? And seeing that from a step back, a higher view, it's about people. And I think that the beautiful part here is that you got life experience and then you got your degree. So funny part is being an undergrad student, but being a branch manager at the same time, you know, you don't really hear about that too much. But I think it's because you got that real life experience before going to college that you were able to really see what it was to navigate it in such a way from experience. What do you say about that?
I say you did some forensic accounting and research there, man.
Amen.
yeah, you kind of put that together. No, you're absolutely right, Jory. So, you know, full transparency, man. It took me, you know, and I think this is important stuff to share, because I think oftentimes, you know, whoever's listening to this, they see things as so linear, right? And, you know, you turn 18 and you graduate high school, and then you get your four-year degree, and then this happens, and then you get a pet and you get married or whatever it is. And for me, it took me about a dozen years for me to get my my undergrad. And there was times where I took a year or two off because I just thought I was going to make money and I was going to get ahead that way. And you know, I had family telling me, like, you're going to make more money, you're going to spend more money, you're going to have less money. And I was like, no. And of course, they were right. And, you know, I just kind of stuck with it slowly. You know, sometimes I'd take one class, and then because I was, you know, I was managing a bank at, I think, 24, 25, just based off of grit, you know, just based off of grit and, you know, trying to work my way in there. And I didn't have a degree. And I was like, and there was a part of me, and I was taking night school for my degree. And there was a part of me that was like, well, why do I even need my degree? I got the job that they're telling people to go to school for to get that job, right? Mm-hmm. I was managing, and one of the branches, there was like a $350 million portfolio at that branch, you know? And then I went to another one that was like kind of starting up and only had like maybe like a $25 million book. But either way, I had these like important positions, but, you know, I felt like it was important to go and make these relationships and kind of finish that off. I'll tell you now, if I have two candidates and I have a candidate that has a PhD in something, but they have no life experience, and then I got the guy or the girl who's got, you know, a ton, you know, a decade of life experience with different jobs, I'll probably take that person.
Mm-hmm. You know,
life experience, man, is so underrated, you know, having these different positions, you know, seeing what you're good at, what you're not good at, you know, hitting yourself against the wall a little bit. That's so valuable, you know, and I think sometimes people in logistics, they get so caught up maybe in the position that they're in, thinking that that's going to be it. But I think if you just keep on going, eventually, you know, doors will open, you know, or you'll kick one open.
Yes, sir. Agreed. And that kind of takes us to one of the points, is that I always say I love the supply chain, because no matter what you think you're going to learn, there's always more to learn. And what you learn in this role, if you transition to another role within logistics or the supply chain, it's only going to make your understanding of the entire thing that much stronger. So I love that you said that. And speaking to you specifically, you know, you were in the trucking industry. You tiptoed in for about 2-3 years, and then you went over to the factoring world. What was it about factoring? You know, because there's some cool factoring companies. I'm not going to lie. I've seen a lot of cool offices, Christmas parties, and all those things. But what took you over to the factoring world for that stint?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I was a really good recruiter. so that helped. I mean, I really had no intentions of leaving. And I was, it was my first stint with Expedited Trans, right? The company that I'm currently with. Kind of a long story or a full circle story. So I actually opened up when I was in banking, because I've known, the owners for about 25 years. I opened up their first bank account.
What?
Back when I was 20.
Wow.
And they were just starting off. They had one truck. They were actually owner operators, and now they've grown this company, to kind of where it's at. But back when I went over to RTS and doing factoring, I think a part of me yearned for a little bit more growth. The company here was doing fine, but it was still trying to kind of figure out, what phase it was going to go into next. And I had this great opportunity. I had a conversation with the owners, and we still kind of remain, with that friendship and that open mind. And I kind of left it with the door a little bit open, like, hey, let's just see what's going to happen in the next few years. You never know. Maybe there'll be like an opportunity for me here in the future. And that was kind of the case. I was over in the factoring world for a couple of years. It kind of worked in perfectly with my banking experience. And I was able to learn a lot of different facets of the transportation and logistics industry. Because, RTS has like four or five other companies. They have a TMS. They have a brokerage, Ryan Transportation. They have all these different divisions. So I was able to kind of be exposed to these different, they have these fuel discount division, with their fuel card, with their partnership with Pilot. So I was able to learn a lot more. I was able to really have, closer relationships with carriers who are my direct clients. And so that I think helped me grow a lot more. For when I came back to Expedited Trends, to really kind of be prepared for this position and be more well-rounded.
Yes, sir. Man, that sounded like the perfect thing to do. Not knowing that you were going to be coming back to Expedited Trans, but if there was ever an experience that could accelerate your growth, your understanding, your industry experience, it sounds like that was it. So, awesome way to not burn bridges. Again, guys, it's about relationship building, nurturing, and being open. So thank you for sharing that. What was the biggest difference between when you left the industry, or not the industry, when you left Expedited Trans in 2021 and when you got back in 2023? What was the biggest difference in the industry that you noticed?
Well, so when I left, I'm trying to think here, but I believe it was 2021. And we were into COVID about a year. And so that was obviously a factor, right? Because, transport, like logistics didn't really slow down during COVID. I mean, maybe like the first couple of weeks of COVID, there was uncertainty what was going on. And then it was just like full on out. But by then, by 2021, when I got there was like a record number of DOTs that were being opened. You know what I mean? Everyone was, a bunch of owner operators came out of nowhere. People were buying box trucks, hot shots, buying, used trucks, new trucks, everything. And there was a really short supply of equipment, so those prices were shooting up. So when I got there, the industry was really hot. I was kind of on an uptick. And when I came back is when everything got cold. And actually it was the inverse. Now everyone had their fun for 6 to 12 months. Those who had gotten in at the right time, and you know this because with dispatching, you saw the rates that were happening, you saw the amount of loads that were out there. And then all of a sudden it kind of cooled down. And for those newer people in the industry, only the really, really savvy ones kind of knew how to pivot and knew how to navigate that. But for the grand majority, I'd say most of them are now unfortunately closed down, returning their equipment, not renewing their licenses, their plates, all that type of stuff. And so, yeah, so when I came back, that was kind of what was happening. That's kind of what I walked into. I was like, man, it's time is everything, but you take it as you go, and you know that this industry is cyclical, just like how real estate is cyclical. When I started in banking in 2000, what was that, 2008, I think it was. 2000, yeah, it was 2008, and that was at the very, I remember like a month before I started, Lehman Brothers went belly up, which was like an impossibility, a few months before that. Like, no way is this over 100-year institution gonna go belly up. And that's what I walked into, that's what I walked into into banking. I'd look at their CRMs, and it would just be pages and pages of clients in literal red font, because these were all people that were going into foreclosure, or like 3 months past due on their mortgage, and everybody was just kind of losing their homes or looking to do some modifications. So I'm kind of used to kind of just being, I guess, in industries when, when the markets are down.
Yes, sir. I bet that gives you a certain level of figure it out. Like you gotta figure it out. You can't shrivel up and, go into a corner and cry about it. You really have to get that grit that you mentioned as to how you became branch manager at the young age of 24, probably younger than that. But the whole point is that grit, that tenacity to be unmoved, unshaken by what could be considered a very hard situation. That niche, I'm going to say niche just because, I want to. But when it comes to it, you see a lot of these organizations, these trucking companies that have expedited in their name. What does that really mean in layman's terms for people who haven't been exposed to it?
Yeah, so expedited is pretty much freight that goes from one area, from one location to another as quickly as possible. So we are a team only company. So we have about 65 trucks, and we employ no solo drivers. So all of our trucks are running on teams. While one driver drives, the other one is sleeping or resting in the back bunker, and vice versa. Once their shift is over, the other one switches and starts driving. So our trucks are driving about 20, 22 hours a day sometimes. They're on the road, so it's a different lifestyle for the drivers. But our average load is about 1,900 miles. So we do a lot of like Miami to Washington, Orlando to Los Angeles, Santa Ana. It's these long lanes, right? And we just kind of go from coast to coast, back and forth. We kind of zigzag as we need to. And that's kind of what expedited freight is. So we'll be in Miami on Monday, and we'll be in Santa Ana, which is like Orange County near LA, by Wednesday. So it'll be like 2 days turnaround. So it's really, really quick. We work a lot with with UPS, with directly with USPS, with mail. And a lot of shippers prefer this, as because I've had people ask me like, well, why don't they just use air freight? Well, they do. They do sometimes use air freight, but the thing is, air freight's a lot more expensive. And even then, let's say they are like, okay, well, I have a bunch of mail to take from Miami to LA. Okay, so they get it to LA in, let's say, 4 hours, 5 hours. But from Miami, I'm sorry, from LA, from there, they still need to get it to the distribution hub. So now there's another expense there, right? And then from the distribution hub, then they got to get it to last mile. So there's other logistics that come involved for them. They're just like, and there's time, with that as well. So sometimes just the expedited trucking is more efficient than rail or air freight.
Gotcha. Yeah. And if we're talking about timing, you do not want to put it on the rail. It might be more cost effective, but it's definitely not going to get there in a hurry. You mentioned these big boys, UPS and USPS, mail. Those are very specific things. you guys being down there in Florida, because that's where your headquarters, correct? Out of Florida?
Correct. Yeah, yeah. So our headquarters is in Opa-locka, which is, you know, pretty much Miami. But yeah, we're 10 minutes away from the USPS hub over there.
Okay. Do you guys tend to benefit from any of the other imports, cargo coming in directly from the steamships and all that kind of good stuff as well? Does that go into the expedited world?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we benefit, you know, down, I think everybody, you know, that was one of the cool things when I was at RTS, I was able to meet different carriers in different parts of the country. And if they were in Louisiana or in, you know, one of the Carolinas, you know, they'd be kind of leaning on the ports a little bit, and whatever was coming into the ports, you know, that's what they were moving if they were doing intermodal or different things. So for us, it's the same thing, right? We kind of use that. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, even cruise ships are big in South Florida. So sometimes there's stuff being moved for the cruise ships. There is, you know, during produce season, there's a lot of movement there of produce as well. So yeah, we try to take advantage of, you know, of every little niche that we can down there.
Yeah. Historically, right, this might be completely different from the expedited world, but from the solo driver, dry van world, mm-hmm. freight originating out of Florida is notoriously cheap. It's cheap. It's hard to get out of Florida for something that is more than just fuel money. So you guys being based out of Florida, that being your sole operation, how is it affected differently when it's team driving and it's expedited?
Man.
Yeah. You understand? Because yeah, people who know.
Yeah, man, you ain't lying, brother. It's tough. It's tough, man. It's such a tough market down in Florida. But I think for us, you know, we've been around for about 15 years. So luckily we've been able to kind of establish a niche. People kind of know us a little bit. You know, we do have some dedicated freight as well. So that kind of helps kind of give us a little bit of stability and consistency. But yeah, the rates going out of there, man, are tough. You know, they're really tough. And sometimes, you know, you just kind of sometimes we're just kind of driving into the wind a little bit, you know, like, all right, we know it's going to be tough kind of getting out a little bit. Let's see if we can kind of balance it out with a different and better market, you know, in another part of the country. And that's just the battle we have, you know, and I think that happens anywhere, you know. So like, for example, right now I'm in Chicago. We have kind of like a little office, like a corporate office over here. But like even in Chicago, right, for fleets that are based out of Chicago, the rates are better, but they got to battle different things, right? Maybe it's higher taxes. Maybe it's definitely the weather right around this time of year, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're getting trapped in different ways. So everyone, you know, in different markets, you know, have to battle different things. You know, if you're in California, you know, you got to deal with the politics and the laws and things like that over there, right? A couple years ago, they implemented, I think if your truck was older than 10 years or something like that, you know, you couldn't even go pick up at the port. You know, those trucks literally went from one day to the other. They became inoperable in that state. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of got to deal with what you got, learn to kind of use your disadvantages to an advantage somehow.
Yes, sir. Great point. And you did mention it, this time of year for weather is crazy. It makes me think about you guys. You said your average trip that you guys, your drivers are doing is about 1,900 miles, which says that there's a lot of opportunity for weather delays, for inclement weather. This is very in the weeds, but how do you guys see around that? How do you trip plan for that? Are you guys doing anything beyond looking at the iPhone weather app? You know, how do you prepare for that?
Yeah, so a couple of things. So, you know, like those lows there, like our average is 1,900 miles. So first off is, you know, to your previous question, how do we kind of work around that? Well, we try to distinguish ourselves as a premier white glove, you know, top tier carrier, right? That there's not a lot of companies in South Florida that can provide the level of service that we do to our clients in terms of, you know, making sure that we have great communication, that we update them with the freight. We have, you know, top technology, you know, our TMS, we work with McLeod, which is, you know, you could look it up. That software is about $300,000 to start. we have, you know, GPS on all our units, on both our trucks and our trailers. You know, we make sure that our drivers are trained and have all the apps necessary to make sure that they're giving our clients, you know, updates on tracking and things like that. So when we have these situations, whether it's bad weather, things like that, we are planning ahead, you know. So right now, for example, we have, you know, situations in, you know, in Washington or in Colorado with, you know, with bad weather. And because we have a 24-hour tracking team that is, you know, constantly, you know, keeping up to date on where our trucks are at, how our drivers are doing, what the weather's looking like out there, what conditions our trucks are at, or trucks are in, sorry. We can, you know, try to anticipate some of these needs and make sure that, you know, we're not like everybody else getting stuck, you know, 10 hours, you know, on I-70 or I-80 because, you know, we didn't plan ahead. And now, you know, there was a snowstorm and, you know, it's standstill traffic, you know, and now we're going to be late for our load. So, we do, you know, we try to have our tracking team be kind of the eyes and ears and, you know, kind of the brain, so to speak, to kind of keep our drivers, you know, informed, give them the support and try to anticipate some of these things, you know, because you're right, man, they do happen, you know, but yeah, those are some of the tools that we use.
You mentioned this earlier and I said I wanted to come back to it, but you said long haul, coast to coast. And now we're talking about the level of service, like you guys are serving with excellence. That's the whole entire point. You know, you've made this your niche. You are able to sell at a premium rate because you know the caliber of the service you're going to give. Is it even normal for people, for expedited companies, to operate over such a large area? You guys said the lower 48. You know, that's a lot of space to be offering this type of service.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, we cover all of it. You know, we don't go to Manhattan.
We
try to avoid it. Our drivers aren't very keen on it either. And, you know, actually I was just in, one of my cousins lives in Manhattan, not too far from Times Square. And I was just there a few weeks ago. I spent the weekend there and I was like, I hadn't been there in years. And I was like, yeah, makes sense why we're not here, man. This is a tight place.
Yes, sir.
If you ever been to, have you ever been to Wall Street?
I can't recall. See, I was born in Brooklyn, but I was raised in the South. So even I've been to Times Square more recently, but I don't get up there enough. Like I need to get up there with my family. I really do.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, I was in Brooklyn briefly. It's great out there, man. But what I was gonna tell you about Wall Street is that, like, you know, we're all painted, you know, we've all been painted this illusion, you know, this big massive thing about Wall Street, right? Like it's like this big monumental street and, you know, there's just like gold falling from the ceilings.
Right.
And then you go to Wall Street and it's like an alley street, you know? It's like one car can get through there because when they built these streets, you know, they kind of weren't thinking 200 years into the future. It's a really small street and that's just kind of how Manhattan was kind of built, you know?
I had a small operation, a small box truck operation doing things right there. And it was a challenge every single time. So I can only imagine if we're talking about 53 footers and people are in a hurry because it's expedited freight. So, yeah, say no more about that. I completely get it. And you also said something earlier that surprised me. But you know what? The beautiful part about it is, I can't be surprised because when I met Jerry, when I met one of the brothers that helped found this company, right? He just exhibited so much humility after all the success to that point when I met him that Expedited Trans had experienced, just the humility, like I said, that he exuded. It was crazy. So you being on the team to even help get the very first bank account for this organization, that's special, brother. That's special. Like, you don't hear that ever. That's special.
Yeah. Yeah, that man, it really was a or is a cool thing, you know. And it's something that, you know, happened such a long time ago that it wasn't we didn't actually we actually just like thought about that like a year or a year and a half ago. We were like, oh wait, yeah, you came and you opened it up, you know, it was something that we'd kind of forgotten, but it was kind of like a full circle moment, you know. It was really you know, it's special to be a part of it that long. But you know, I always tell people, I you know, even when I wasn't, you know, a part of the organization in the capacity that I am now, I was always an Expedited Trans fan. You know, I was always, you know, a relentlessly driven guy. I just wanted to support his success, you know, pour love onto it. I'd been to his operation before, and it's just such a cool thing to be a part of. You know, it's kind of like you know, like in sports, you know, if you grow up in a certain city, like for me, it's Chicago, right? Like it's like being able to play for your hometown team, you know.
Right.
That's kind of how I feel about it. So I'm definitely blessed. And you're right, he's a super, super kind, you know, humble guy, you know, despite all success. But a lot of respect for him. You know, you when you're so close to somebody like that, and you see the you know, the effort that they put in, you know, day in and day out. And then you realize that it's been like this for years and years. And you know, this you know, when I got into the business, you know, he you know, he's a guy who kind of sat me down, and he was like, look, I know you've been in other industries. I know real estate can be tough. I know banking can be tough. He's like, this is a very, very tough industry. He's like, he's like, I'm just letting you know, this is like nothing else you've ever been a part of. This industry, if you don't, you know, if you don't pay attention, if you don't stay focused, if you're not disciplined, this it'll bleed you dry. It'll just mess you up, because it's just a tough industry. You know what I mean? There's a lot of expenses, there's a lot of overhead, you know, there's difficult people, there's a lot of moving parts. You know, so a lot of respect for him for being able to kind of weather all that, you know, because he kind of learned it on the fly. You know, he didn't, you know, no one really taught him the business. He just kind of learned it.
Yes, sir. You know, it makes me ask, what type of tone does that set for the rest of the organization when the leadership exhibits what Jerry does, which is the go-getter? I'm gonna care. I'm gonna be humble about it the entire way, but I'm gonna show you that I care by the amount of work and effort that I put in to make your job easier.
Yeah, you know, I think it does breed a lot of respect. You know, he has he's a guy who's got really high standards, you know, so he wants things done a certain way. And he holds you to your word, you know. Hey, if you say you're gonna do something, do it, you know. And if you can't do it, then tell me you can't do it, or tell me you can do it by this date, you know, but don't kind of leave things hanging. But you know, we've had you know, a couple of new people join the team and, you know, key positions in the last 6, 8 months. And you know, I see it from them, you know, because everybody else has kind of been there for a while and they're kind of used to it. But I see it from them, and they're like, man, there's like nothing that this guy doesn't do, you know, because he does even, you know, even at the size that he's at, he's not too big for anything, you know. If he's got a, you know, because, you know, just to tell you really quickly, a little bit about, you know, Jerry and the history of the company is, you know, he actually started driving for about a year. I think it was right under a year, maybe like 10 months or something. But he was an owner operator. He got a truck, and he started driving over the road, you know, and that's how he kind of learned the business. And he kind of grew it, you know, to kind of where we're at now. But even to this day, he still has a CDL. If he's in the yard and he's got to move a trailer, he'll go move it, you know. You know, you know, when we were organizing kind of like you know, we have a warehouse, you know, yard, and we have a few bays, you know, where we do work on trucks. You know, him and I stayed, you know, led by him. You know, I'm not, you know, led by him. Like, he was just like, we're gonna organize this. We stayed till 11 o'clock at night, you know. And you know, he could have paid some guys to do that, and you know, he was lifting heavy machinery and doing everything. So he kind of leads from the front. He's not scared of hard work. He's not scared of you know, doing difficult things, whether it's dispatching, whether it's talking to clients, whether it's you know, getting involved with, you know, a tire that's getting replaced over the road. You know, he likes to make his presence known and kind of show people the way a little bit, you know, and I think that's super powerful to, you know, to everybody else that that's part of the organization.
100%, brother. 100%. But look, is there anything that Expedited Trans has going on that we didn't get a chance to cover that maybe you wanted to share? You know, no pressure, but if there was, now's the time.
Yeah, you know, we just got back about 2 weeks ago. We were in Las Vegas. We were there for, I believe the acronym is NSRMCA. it's a mouthful, but we were, it's stands for the National Star Route Mail Carrier Association, I believe it is.
Yeah, is that Greg Reed's situation?
Yeah, it's Greg Reed's, yep.
Yeah,
Greg,
cool.
Yeah, great guy, Greg. So we were there in Vegas for it. You know, and for those that are listening, that association really kind of is you know, they provide support for carriers who work directly with mail, with the United States Postal Service. So they provide like tools, resources, guidance, you know. There was a lot of different, you know, vendors there. There was a few key people from USPS that were there speaking, you know, kind of informing us on a lot of changes. They're going through, you know, a big overhaul and changing the way that they do business, kind of bringing them. They were kind of stuck in the 50s and 60s. Now they're kind of going more into the 21st century with technology and a lot of different things. So that was a really powerful thing to be a part of. We've gone to a few of them now, and we actually started doing more contracted work directly with USPS, which was one of our flagship goals. So that's something that we're super excited about. Like I mentioned, you know, our yard is, you know, really close to that hub over there. So we were able to go to the hub. I was there last week and, you know, went inside the whole distribution center where our mail is distributed, where all the packages, all the conveyor belts. Are kind of distributed. You know, you see mm-hmm. all the signs. This is going to York. This is going to Greensboro. Mm-hmm. This is going to Chicago. This is going up to Colorado Springs, you know. So you're able to kind of see, you know, how this whole massive operation, I mean, forklifts, you know, they probably got a few hundred employees over there, the docks. They had like 100 doors in terms of bays. So that was super cool to be a part of because, you know, you see like documentaries on like what it looks like inside, you know, of an Amazon, of a, you know, of a UPS, USPS, but like being inside of there was super cool. But that's something that for me as a company, you know, I'm very excited about because I think it's not only a testament to our hard work because, you know, like I think oftentimes in organizations, right, like sales, for example, might get you the client or might sell you the service, whatever it is. But if your support team, your technical team can't support that, then eventually that client's going to go. I think it's just a testament to how strong our organization, our operations is in terms of being able to support this, because these are daily loads that we got to be there. We got to be on time. We got to be sharp. Our equipment's got to be sharp. Our drivers got to know what's going on, you know, and our tracking team, our dispatch team has just really stepped up. They've been, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, there wasn't, we were given like 3-4 days in advance to kind of start working on these, and they just kind of took it in stride. They went with it. And so we're really kind of killing it with that. So I'm super proud of our team, you know, just for doing that, you know, for just kind of taking it in stride, taking the challenge, working towards it. Now, the next thing for us is, you know, it's growing our fleet. Our goal is, you know, we've had owner operators in the past, but our goal is to get to 100 of our own trucks, of company-owned trucks. And, you know, we put in a couple orders late last year, early this year. So we'll see if we can get there by the end of the year. We're going to kind of see, you know, it's also going to play into kind of how the market's looking like. But that's our next goal. And for me, you know, one of my personal goals is just to, you know, get that next big client, you know, that we can work with directly. So,
yes, sir. Well, look, I truly appreciate you for joining me, brother. Any closing remarks? Oh, actually, no, this is the first question. How can people find out more about Expedited Trans?
Yeah, so Expedited Trans, you know, you can follow us on LinkedIn. You can follow us also on Instagram, at Expedited Trans. On LinkedIn, you should also be able to find us on Expedited Trans. You know, once you give me the link on this, you know, I'll be sure to share that on that page as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, those are the best ways to do it. Or that you can reach me on my LinkedIn, Felipe Uribe, or send me an email. I don't know if you want me to say it here or just give it to you and you can put it in
show. However you want to do it, brother.
Yeah, you guys can reach out to me. I mean, my email is F as in Frank, URI, B as in boy, E, at expeditedtrans.com.
Bet. Well, yeah. Well, I appreciate you for sharing that. And I pray that whatever shipper is listening also just heard that he's looking to land his next big client. So reach out to this brother directly. And, you know, that's the closing remarks right there, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I would just say, you know, if you're in logistics, you know, I'd love to connect with you. You know, I work with people, you know, within our company that have been part of logistics, you know, 25 years. And so they look at me, and they're like, you're still learning. I'm like, I absolutely am, man. You know, I try having a growth mindset, you know, but I like, you know, staying up to date on things, learning about what's going on in the industry. So I'd love to connect with you. If you're in South Florida, like in the Miami area, I'd love to connect with you, have you check out our operation. If you're in Chicago, again, you know, I'd love to meet up in person. And then with my closing remarks is, you know, I know there's a variety of people that are listening to this, maybe wanting to learn about transportation, maybe wanting to learn how they can get more deeply involved with transportation. I would close with two things. If that's some of your goal is to kind of advance your career more in transportation and logistics, I'll give you three things actually. So the first thing is, you know, educate yourself, you know, continue to read about transportation, about business, about logistics, you know, figure out what's going on in the market. You know, UPS just laid off 12,000 employees. How does that affect you? Why is that mm-hmm. happening? You know, Yellow closed down late last year. You know, it was a 99-year-old company. Why did that happen? How does that affect you? Who's taking over some of these assets? Why is that important? You know, so educate yourself on that, you know, and, you know, read, you know, even if it's not really as related. So humble brag, but I've been wanting to get, I got this book for Christmas. It's a great gift. This is what I'm reading right now. Michael
what
Jordan.
Is it?
It's Michael Jordan, the life. It's the Michael Jordan biography.
Hey.
It's like 700 pages, so I'll probably finish it in a couple months. you know, when people tell me like, oh, I read 50 books this year, I'm like, dude, if I can read 25 a year, that'll be love. But,
right?
but this is the Roland Lazenby. You know, there's a lot of Michael Jordan biographies out there, but this is like the most famous one. Because this journalist like really followed Michael Jordan's life and career, you know, kind of since the beginning. So, I'm about, I don't know, a fifth of the way in it, and it's incredible so far. But so yeah, I would say read as my one remark. The second one is get out there, right? You know, Jory, you and I met in Houston, you know,
mm-hmm.
at a conference, and I met so many incredible people at that conference that I would have never met, and that I still keep in touch with a few people. You know, through that, you know, and that's a tribute to Ramel as well, right? For building such an incredible community. But with Truck and Hustle, shout out to Truck and Hustle fam.
100%.
But so get out there, you know, go network, meet people in real life. You know, I think oftentimes we're so stuck, you know, being behind our screen, whether it's a laptop or a phone, you know, so get out there, go to these different events. You know, and just put yourself out there to meet people. You know, only opportunities are going to come out of this. And then the third thing I'll say is listen to my man, Jerry Myers. Did I say that right?
You certainly did, brother.
Listen to my man, Jordan Myers, on Transportation Logistics. A great podcast. And yeah, man, those are my closing remarks.
Well, I truly appreciate you, my guy. And as we close, I did want to give a huge shout out to our sponsor, Tie Software, who is helping brokerages of all sizes streamline their processes and scale their businesses. So whether you are a brokerage specializing in full truckload or LTL, they have a solution for you, and tell them that Joe Reese sent you. But look, again, my guy, I truly appreciate you for joining me this evening. And, you know, I'm looking forward to helping if I can, but definitely supporting the growth of Expedited Trans. So thank you again, my guy.